You know, you could be seated. I just want to say Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much, worship team. I just am grateful for your work here and what you do. Taylor and Tyler, specifically. Thank you. Nailed it. I get your names. I think I remember who you are. But, you know, I should say, my wife says, do you ever call them T and T? And I said, well, I kind of. She goes, well, they're like dynamite. Well, T and... Okay. It's going to be a rough night, I can tell. All right. I didn't make that joke. Be careful. No, you know, one of the things I do love is I love the fact that there are some people who have the ability to see humor in things. There's people sometimes who we kind of look at them, they just got positivity, and you go, how do they get that? How do they have that? And some may have more of that than others, but there's something different than just being positive and just having kind of the ability to see humor in things and be funny. There is something about learning how to really live in joy. And I thought the way to start this is just to ask you about someone who I think brings a lot of humor and joy into life, and that's a guy named Jim Gaffigan. Anybody ever heard the humor of Jim Gaffigan? Raise your hand. I'm going to look out and see, oh, there's quite a few. If you have heard the humor of Jim Gaffigan, then you've also heard the comedy of his wife, Jeannie Gaffigan. They are a comedy duo, whether you know it or not, because you'll see Jim all over the place on the screen, Netflix, Hulu, other Prime, all these different places. But they have built a brand of clean, relatable jokes that are enjoyed by everyone. Everyone from, like, what you would call comic snobs to impressionable kids. And because of it's so clean, they've been able to relate to so many. Forbes magazine lists them as the world's highest earning comics. They have made tens of millions of dollars, which is pretty amazing. Jim is the face of the comedy team because he will stand up and give you these self-deprecating one-liners. And behind the scenes is his wife, Jeannie, who is the one who crafts the material, produces the shows, and as one news source puts it, keeps the pipeline of punchlines flowing to meet the demand of Gaffigan humor. Personally, I find him to be really funny, as millions of others do. And so I thought, you know, you should see a little of what he does, especially in this little thing called Christmas with the In-Laws.
Try and schedule tours around school breaks. You know, like at Christmas one year, I did a bunch of shows in Florida. My wife and kids came down. My wife's family also came down because they didn't want us to have a good time. I'm kidding. I love my wife's family. Did that sound believable? I do love them. They're my in-laws. That's a strange term, in-laws. Are you related? Legally. In a court of law. In-law, it's like the opposite of being in love. We're in law. We law each other. Very much. In-laws are like family you're assigned. It's like, you want to spend your life with that person? You got to take those 10 people. All of them? My only issue with my in-laws is there's too many of them. My wife is one of 9 children, so every holiday, all 9 of the siblings and their individual families all get together and spend every moment together. Over Christmas, I went to a movie with 30 people. I didn't even know that was legal. We were walking around, people thought we were from a church. To put it in perspective, Jesus only walked around with 12. I learned very quickly, I don't want to do anything with 30 people. If I was on the Titanic and the last rescue boat was filled with 30 people, I'd be like, you guys, go ahead. I don't want to be there when you try and decide where to eat lunch. Often it was more than 30 people, because sometimes those 30 people will invite other people. So you'll have conversations and someone will be like, I'm your wife's uncle's best friend. I'm like, oh, there's a term for that. Stranger. You're a total stranger.
Well, I thought it would be good to laugh and to experience joy. And you can kind of say, you know, there's some people, they can laugh. They have lots of joy. I would think they would have lots of joy in their life. They have money and all they can buy with it. They have fame and popularity. They have a world of friends and unlimited opportunities. They're combined with a sense of uninterrupted contentment and joy and peace. I mean, yeah, I get it for those. But in one sense, Jim and Jeannie, if you look at their life, the Gaffigans, it is maybe true. There was a time as in their lives, everything was going great and it was kind of trending up until 2017 happened. And tragedy struck and it all changed. I read an interview in Relevant Magazine where they were very honest. They said in 2017, Ginny went to see the doctor after months of headaches and flu-like symptoms. As a busy mother, writer, and producer, she assumed it was related to stress. You can get that. It would be related to stress. That's what she's thinking. But after an MRI, doctors came to her and they said she had a tumor in her brain that was the size of a pear. And the prognosis wasn't good. And Jeannie's husband, Jim, reflecting back at that time, said, I lived in this very likely reality that I was going to be a single father of five children. And in the days following that diagnosis in spring of 2017, the prospects of a risky brain surgery with complications overwhelmed them as a couple as they were trying to process through this. These people who, if you've seen some of their shows since, they can have humor about it. They actually even said in this interview that when they were going through it, they had joy. They laughed, but not because it wasn't serious and that it wasn't painful and it wasn't filled with fear. It was just too much information for me to turn immediately to God, Jeannie tells the magazine writer. But at a certain point, pretty quickly, when everything was kind of swirling around, it became clear to me that I was not going to be able to handle this. It was just too much. You've been in that situation. You may be in that situation right now. You may have been at that in one time in your life. After the last service, I had a couple different people come up to me and go, what you were speaking about was so true in my life in such and such a time. I'm sure there were people that are sitting here right now and that's true in their life, whether it's the fear that they're carrying, whether it's a job insecurity, whether it's a marriage situation right now that is seeming to go head south, or it could be you're feeling completely alone. You have been looking for someone who would be your partner. You know what I mean? You could be right there. And Jeannie said she thought about this, and at a certain point, pretty quickly, when everything was swirling around, it was just clear she couldn't handle this. So I just remembered at one point this old adage that God, is someone, I could answer that. Is it God? No. Okay. Anyway, Jeannie remembered this old adage that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And so she was recalling that, and she decided then to pray. I just said, listen, God, if you don't give people things they can't handle, I'm just going to say, and you need to know this, God, I can't handle this, so please, you handle this. And she said, I had a very frank conversation with God saying, I'm just going to turn over the situation to you. I'll work as hard as I can and I'll trust as best I can that you will guide me through this. But there's no one else that I can turn to can handle this. There's no one in my life, so I'm turning to you. No matter what the outcome is. You see, Jim and Jeannie are, especially Jean is a Catholic and very much a devout Catholic by faith. And Jim has kind of followed her, he'll say, along as being devout Christians. But Jim relays the fact that it was Jeannie's posture of leaning into God in this time when this crisis came into their life in those early days of diagnosis, with the fear, he said, of losing his writing partner, the mother of his children, the love of his life. He said, as I looked at her, I just turned to faith and I grabbed hold of God too. And when I grabbed hold of God by faith, Jim says, there's almost a calmness that overcame me. As he looked back, he said there was something about Jeannie's deep faith and comfort and the peace and the joy that she encountered coupled with her bravery that just had a sense of reassuring me as I was holding this in one hand and reaching out and grabbing to God in another. Jeannie's tumor was a very rare type of brain lesion called papilloma. It's a choroid plexus for those of you who are in the work medically. And at one point, as they did the surgery, she relates that they miraculously were able to remove it, but it didn't mean that she didn't face months of setback. She had surgeries, she was bedridden for weeks at a time, She, for a long period of time, ate through a feeding tube. She had a near-fatal bout of pneumonia, and she lost her ability to speak for 3 straight weeks. And they make a comment in this article. They say, the fact that we as a couple can joke about this doesn't mean any of it was easy. But now Jim and Jeannie are on the other side. She's now recovered from that. She's good. She's living life, in a sense, back to normal. But they also say nothing is the way it once was or how it used to be. She said, in retrospect, as I think about it, the ultimate faith for me was when I just grabbed hold of God, and Jim grabbed hold of God, and we held on to him. And in that process, I used to ask God for things, but I began to move into this place where I began to see God in the way that he loved me. And her response to him, she started feeling gratefulness and peace and joy in the midst of a really, really scary, crummy situation. And we can laugh at their humor. They're very funny. They can make, I mean, someone told me, you should have just kept playing that. But, you know, I said I had a message that I had to give. But here's the reality that Gaffigans found. They found that they could hold not even something they wanted, but it just showed up in their life. Now, let's realize that for some of us, we get in those situations because we make choices. Choices have consequences. And we find ourselves in that place, and we might think that God is just going to go, yeah, too bad. You made your bed, let's sleep in it. Or some of us might be having our life going along like they did, and all of a sudden in their hand is this crisis that is of an illness that creates doubt and creates all kinds of fear and puts them on a track that would not seem anything joyful or peaceful. And yet they say, as that was in their one hand, with the other hand, they grabbed hold of the very real presence of God. And that Christmas is no longer for them this kind of story that happened at one time long ago and sentimental with all kinds of thoughts, although it is that. But it's actually something that's happening in their life in that experience because God met them in a place where they couldn't handle it. And what I find is interesting is if you're in that place and you have in your hand some consequences of choices that you may have to live with, but I do know this, that sometimes I've seen God sometimes come in and actually change those consequences or sometimes be with you in the midst of them. But one thing we know, no matter whether it's from yourself or you've had this place in your lap and you're kind of trying to figure it out, there is one thing that is true. Whatever's in this hand is temporary and passing. It will not last. I don't know what the outcome will be. Jeannie didn't know the outcome, but here's the reality of it. We have been given another hand. You have another hand, and you can grab hold of with the other hand, no matter what's happening in this part of your life right now on Christmas Eve, this time, December 24th, 2024, right now, with whatever you're holding here, God says, open your hand. Some of you just may need to reaffirm this. You may need to just hold your hand out there again and say, God, I know that you've been present with me in the past, but I need to reaffirm this. I'm going to grab hold of you by faith again today because tonight is a night where we celebrate the fact that you invaded history in order to show us through your word that there is a message that comes with good news and great joy, as it says in chapter 2, verse 10 of Luke, which he makes clear it is something that he wants you to know. It's written in ink. It's written in a life that lived in history that says God invaded earth, and he invaded in such a way that he wants to be with you right now. And I don't want you to even consider leaving here if you're holding something in your hand without saying, God, I want to grab hold of you. But you almost have to come to that place for you, like where Jeannie just said, you know, it was more than I could handle. I just needed to surrender, and I needed to say, God, I'm going to reach out. You know what I think happens in those situations is by faith we grab hold of it. It's not because you're trying to be really good. It's not because you're trying to measure up. It's not because in some way you are acting in ways that are different. It's just God saying, by faith, by trust, if you open your hand, I will actually grab hold of you and I will begin to walk with you. I'll be in a relationship with you. I will guide you through this no matter what the outcome. And I think that's a pretty good choice. And so some of you may need to reaffirm that. You may need to, even through the next few days, help someone else reaffirm that. This is passing. This is temporal. This is not going to last. You will face it. You may feel the fear. You may feel alone. You may have all those things. And I'm not in any way downgrading those. Because what may need to happen is you open your hand and you grab hold of, God grabs hold of you. It's not about you changing. It's about him coming in and beginning to lead and guide you so that those things around you can change. And there are some of you who are in a place, and I know this on Christmas. It happens at Christmas and Easter. And this is maybe one of the one times that you may be in a church, and I just want to say to you, if you're in a place like that, if you're kind of grabbing hold, you have doubts, whatever it is, and you're holding this, I just encourage you right now with your heart, in a sense, just to reach out a hand and say, God, here I am. I can't handle this anymore. It could be an addiction. It could be a loneliness. It could be confusion. It's whatever it is. You just say, God, at this Christmas, when you were born into this world that we celebrate, be born into my life. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I want to just pray for all of you as you head back to home and you celebrate this. So let me ask real quickly, how many kids get to open gifts when you go home now? I think you all should, okay? Okay, if you can kind of get your thoughts together again. We just want to say, Jesus, right now, you see people. You see their hands raised up to you. You see their hands open to you. And I know they're saying they can't do this. They can't figure it out. They can't change this. Just open your hand to Jesus and begin to let him guide you and direct you. And if you're doing this, you're opening your heart, would you talk to someone else at some point after this and just let them know that you did this? Because we really believe community is important. You're not to walk this alone. Jesus will reach out to you. He'll walk with you, but he wants you to bring trusted, confidential people into your life. If you don't know anyone, I would love to, or Luke, or Taylor, or Tyler, or anybody on staff would love to talk to you. So Jesus, thank you for entering this earth. Thank you, Father, for invading this place that is full of darkness. We just see it all the time around us. It's right now, it's been so hard for us to see the incredible polarization and hate and division and all those things. And the songs we sing from our hearts. Would you once again make all people one in you? Would you work in such a way that love becomes the guiding principle of our hearts? And some here tonight have said, God, I want that to be true for me. I want no more of the hate. I don't want to continue to live on my own. I want to experience your love, and I want to begin to know what it means to be your child. So thank you. Thank you. If you want to just quietly say thank you. You don't even have to say it out loud. God hears your heart. Thank you. Thank you. Just like if you were getting a gift and someone handed it to you, you tell your kids to go tell them to say thank you. I'm telling you, just tell him thank you. He loves you. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. He's with you now, and he's for you forever. And in Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. So you know what? One of the great joys of the world is that you can hold crisis in your hand and hold on to something far more substantial in Jesus that will last forever. And that's why when we talk about good news of great joy, we sing songs like Joy to the World, because it just flows from our hearts. Because there's a joy that is stronger than any circumstance, stronger than any fear, or stronger than any confusion that would come into our lives. There's a joy that is greater because we are holding on to something that's lasting and permanent and loves us and is with us.